Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the newest spirit.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers,
reality,
baby.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and I'm so excited about today's guest. This is going to be a special edition of Reality Spirituality. And let's just get right to it because we've got a lot of people calling in, and Mark has agreed to, you know, do a few readings, but we're going to get to know this young man. Mark Anthony, the psychic attorney, the psychic lawyer, also known as the psychic explorer, is a fourth-generation psychic medium who communicates with spirits. He is also a successful attorney, licensed to practice law in Florida, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court. Mark graduated from Mercer Law School with honors, which included the study of law at Oxford University in England. He's also studied mediumship in England at the Arthur Findlay College for the Advancement of Psychic Science. He is the best-selling author of Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity. Mark appears nationwide on TV and radio. He's recently appeared on The Doctors on CBS. He's featured at conferences, expos, universities nationwide, which include Brown, Columbia, Harvard, and Yale. His website is www.evidenceofeternity.com. Can you tell I'm really excited to have him on? I'm stumbling over my words. Please welcome psychic lawyer Mark Anthony. Thank you so much, Mark, for being live on the show. I really appreciate this. It's going to be such a, exciting show. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Rebecca. It's great to be here. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time.
Aw, thank you. Well, you know, where do we start? A lawyer and a psychic. Can you share what type of law?
Well, right now, I'm serving as a legal analyst in high-profile cases, particularly working on cold cases nationwide. But when I was practicing law full time, I started off as a prosecutor. And so I've prosecuted everything from Marine Patrol violations to first-degree murders. And then I was a criminal defense attorney where I defended every type of case from drug trafficking to drunk driving to homicides. And I was also a personal injury litigator. So I've done complex civil litigation, including wrongful death cases and specialized in head injury. So I've helping people cope with all types of horrific and life-changing conditions for pretty much my entire professional life.
You know, being someone that's out there serving the world, that has to be, well, I don't know, I'm not going to assume, but is that draining? I mean, do you find that you need to take vacations, hibernate? Are you energized? How do you do that and stay focused and stay, you know, balanced?
Well, you know, I'm on the road so much. I mean, this last year I was on a nationwide speaking tour where I was talking about the science behind reincarnation and the afterlife based on quantum physics. And what it is, Rebecca, I absolutely love what I do. And I love making connections for people in this world with their loved ones in spirit. But no matter how much you love doing something, it's still a lot of energy. And as much as I love to go places, it's the traveling part that's not a whole lot of fun, you know. I mean, anyone that's been on an airplane recently, the luxurious days of Pan Am, which I never got to experience, but I heard they were great, are long gone. You know, they kind of cram you in the plane and then the airport and security. And I don't begrudge security or TSA at all. I think those people are doing a fantastic service, and I'd rather be inconvenienced than you know, in a threat. But I find the recharge of my batteries in nature. I love to hike mountains, rainforests, jungles. Sometimes it's just nice to sit by the ocean and just do some deep breathing. I love spending time with my family. So it's one thing to be on and traveling, but it's also very important to replenish and re-energize yourself.
Yes. I totally get it. It's nature really is the best medicine. What was your motivation for writing Evidence of Eternity?
When I was on my first book, Never Letting Go, when it came out, when I was on the Never Letting Go tour, and Never Letting Go has been recommended by hospices and grief counselors all over the world, and people give it as a gift. You know, when somebody dies, you don't know what to give, and my books have been very, very healing that way. But when I was on the Never Letting Go tour, people kept asking me questions about, you know, is reincarnation real? I mean, my son committed suicide. Did he go to hell? I mean, they were asking some very poignant things. You know, do animals have souls? And so I started making a list of the things people asked the most, and they wanted rational explanations. They didn't want some granola airy-fairy, spirit told me this and spirit told me. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are doing that. But I've always been an evidence and a science guy. I mean, my dad was a NASA engineer. He helped put, you know, guys on the moon, figured out how to bring Apollo 13 back. So just making, you know, carte blanche statements with nothing to back it up isn't sufficient for me. So that's what was the genesis for Evidence of Eternity, is to write a book that explains spirit communication on the basis of science, quantum physics, human physiology, and evidence, but do so in a way where it's enjoyable to read. Because nobody wants to read I'm sure there's people out there like reading algebra textbooks, but people want to read something which is engaging and inspirational. And so that was the reason that I wrote Evidence of Eternity.
Wow. So what is the difference between a medium and a psychic?
Every medium is a psychic, but not every psychic is a medium. All right, now let me explain what the difference is. A lot of times they use the terms interchangeably, and I understand that. Psychics tune into the energy of a person, place, or thing. So, like, if I was going to do a psychic reading on somebody, like you, Rebecca, I would tune into your vibration, your energy, and I may be able to pick up on some medical issues and some past events and what's going on in your life. What a medium does is we tune into a different station. In other words, to the energy of a third party or parties, which are spirits. And so spirit communication is a completely different frequency than what people that are just do purely psychic readings do. And I'm not downplaying people that do purely psychic readings, because I've seen some people and had readings done by people just that are purely psychic that'll just knock your socks off. You know, I mean, they're just amazingly gifted people. But to sum it up, if you want to know about your status, your love life, career, what's going on with your life, see a psychic. If you want to talk to dead people, see a medium.
what, you know, because I watched your interview on the doctors, and I could, you know, feel some skeptics in the audience. How do you handle the skeptics?
Actually, I was very well received at the doctors. I wish they would have filmed what happened when I went off stage. I mean, people were coming up in the droves and hugging me and saying, God bless you, thank you for the work that you do. You know, because no matter what you do, there's always going to be somebody that doesn't like it or doesn't understand it. I mean, you know, Albert Einstein was under attack, actually by Nazis, that he was creating a purely Jewish theory that offended German physics, you know. And of course, then there were German physicists like Heisenberg and Feynman, you know, that were like, that's absurd, you know. So I don't really worry about the skeptics, because there's always going to be negative people, there's always going to be shallow people, and there's always going to be people who simply don't, they fear what they do not understand. And the cure to ignorance and fear is the light of understanding.
I was really specifically talking about the attorney that was on the at the table with you. I don't know. I just felt a little.
Oh, Ariva? Oh no, she's not skeptical at all. In fact, we communicate on Twitter all the time. She's awesome. Oh yeah, no.
All right,
Ariva.
Oh, well,
what it was is she wanted to know. She goes, I think what she asked was, you know, I'd be, let's say we're trying a case and I'm hitting the books and doing this, are you just going to kick my butt because you know everything about the case? And I said, well, I certainly would do my best. And as I explained to her, and Ariva Martin, if you're listening, I love you. I think you're awesome. She's a really, really great attorney, and she just did a TED talk. So, you know, I'm very, very proud of her. And with what she wanted to know is if psychic ability gives me an edge over other people. And what I explain is, well, to some extent it does, but we all have a skill set. What psychic ability does is it gives you insights into situations. Like, I've been in court and something came to me and I went ahead and said it, and it just like blew the witness away, or they didn't know how to deal with it. Same thing when I'm consulted on cold cases. You know, people want it to be, aha, X will mark the spot, and oh, wait, here's the killer, his social security number, address. It doesn't quite work that way, because psychic intuition is hearsay. Hearsay is an out-of-court statement offered to prove the truth of the matter asserted. And as I said on the doctors, can you think of anything more hearsay than psychic intuition or a message from a spirit? But behind the scenes, psychics and psychic mediums like myself do is we will get impressions, we can get descriptions, even names of the suspects and potential witnesses that can then be used by the police to point them in the right direction, which then can lead to them securing evidence which can in fact be used in court. That is not hearsay. So we're more of a behind the scenes thing than, you know, Mr. Anthony, take the witness stand, bring the spirit through. I mean, because the spirit can't be cross-examined, you know. I mean, it just, it doesn't work. That would be interesting, you know. Personally, I'd love to see it, but it doesn't quite work that way.
You know, and I that kind of just ties into with my next question statement. The Kaylee Anthony was just fascinating. Can you share with the audience just that revelation that you felt?
Well, what had happened is I was doing a public event in Florida, and there was about 100 people there. And all of a sudden, the spirit of a little girl came through, and I started describing her, and I said, I feel this deterioration and decomposition, this, like, wire mesh over her face, and I started describing it, and this guy stands up, and I said, this is for you, and he goes, I'm the guy that found Kaylee Anthony's body. And, like, all of a sudden, I'm looking at him, and everyone looking at him, I was like, oh, I remember this guy from the news. You know, I mean, I didn't know who he was, because, you know, there's 100 people there, and I'm, you know, focusing on what I'm doing. And what the wire mesh was the duct tape that was on her face. And what had happened with this gentleman is he was a truck driver or a meter reader, I think. And he pulled over to relieve himself, because whip it out in the door of business and get back in the truck and go. Anyway, so he smells something and he walks over and he finds the skeletal remains of a child, calls the police. Initially, he was arrested and as a suspect. Because, that would be the logical thing to do for the police. But after investigation, they determined that his story was legit and he had not, he discovered the body. He didn't murder the little girl. Well, mm-hmm. Kaylee came through and thanked him for bringing this type of closure. And the most cryptic and gripping message that the spirit transmitted is, you are braver than my daddy. Which really starts to cast a lot of focus back onto the Anthony family. And they're no relation to me, by the way, okay?
Right.
I'm Mark Anthony, Kaylee Anthony, Casey Anthony, Cindy Anthony, all those people. I got the distinct impression from the spirit that the family pretty much knew everything, but they clammed up when, you know, to protect their daughter, Casey. And I was actually, during the trial, I was on a couple radio shows as a legal analyst. And what the Orange County State Attorney's Office, that's the prosecutors in the Orlando, the county that Orlando's in where the, this occurred, they overcharged Casey Anthony. Because what it is, they bowed to public pressure. People wanted this woman put in the, you know, the lethal injection. They wanted her dead. You know, they wanted the death penalty. And that's always a problem, and it's always a disaster when prosecutors bow to public and political pressure instead of doing their job and doing the right thing legally. So they overcharged her with premeditated first-degree murder, and the jury did not find that the evidence made that case. They could have done maybe like involuntary manslaughter or, you know, negligent homicide, some lesser type of offense, and I believe they would have gotten a conviction. So as it turned out, she got convicted on, you know, a couple of misdemeanors and skipped out of, you know, the situation, and you know, there she is. But it's pretty clear from what I received from the spirit of Kaylee Anthony, and also from now what I've seen post all this, that Casey Anthony is a sociopath. She murdered her child. I don't think it was a premeditated first-degree murder. But how many mothers lose a child and go out partying and get a tattoo that night? I mean, come on. If that's not a sociopath, a person devoid of any type of emotion, love, or parental concern, I don't know what is.
Which, you know, when you were speaking, I was just, my whole body was just chilling up. Just really. But
it's creepy, isn't it? I mean, it's just... I mean, who could do that to a child and then just, you know, go off and party with your friends?
Well, you described that sociopath. My next question is, have you ever, because of saying, been afraid? I mean, in the middle of a reading or in the middle of any of that, have you ever felt fear?
From a spirit? Never. Because spirits... you know, I know a lot of mediums that talk about devils and demons, and we get all these TV shows, oh, there's devils, and, you know, there's people that are going to find devils in your sugar bowl, devils in your toilet. I mean, you know, they're like the devil people, and I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in demons. These are leftover concepts from the Bronze Age, Iron Age, and, of course, the medieval era. The devil is the human ego. Because when you act in a totally self-centered manner, ego edges God out. God is love. God is spiritual energy. And God is the light. The light can never be polluted, but it can be blocked when people are acting completely self-centered. And nobody is immune from this. You know, I've done and said things that I've regretted afterwards, you know, hurtful things to people that I love. And I always apologize, but, you know, it's everybody is capable of doing, you know, some negative things, but it doesn't mean that you're going to do things to the extent that somebody like Casey Anthony did. So,
right.
So, you know, yeah, you need to keep it positive. And I've never encountered an evil spirit, because before my readings, I always, and I do readings on the telephone, I do them in person. On my website, evidenceofeternity.com, and it tells people how to sign up for readings. I ask God to send forth spirits for the highest of purposes, to bring messages of love, healing, and resolution to my clients, to the people that I'm doing the reading for. And I've never had the boogeyman come through yet, and because guess what? He, she, it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. You know, I believe that, but I've never heard anybody say that out loud. I just have never heard that. So, yeah, I don't believe in the devil either.
Yeah, I mean, the devil, yes, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, we can stay on that, because I was going to jump to another subject.
Well, you know, the devil was created over centuries. You know, there's references to a fallen angel and all this, and, you know, angels exist, they're spiritual beings, people don't become angels aren't people, but they're spiritual beings. But the idea of an angel, you know, challenging the, you know, the vast, infinite power of what God is absurd. And the devil is is something used to frighten people. In the Romans, when they took over Christianity 300 years after, you know, initially Roman, the Roman Empire was the oppressor of the Christians, and then pretty much the empire became Christian. So then when Constantine appointed himself the first Christian emperor of Rome, it was stated that Jesus was the Son of God and he would return to earth. And until he did, Constantine, emperor of the Romans, was his representative on earth. So, of course, every subsequent Roman emperor, and then as the empire broke up, every king in Europe, and actually the Muslims picked up on this, and that's where the concept of the caliphate comes from. But this was a way of making people follow Roman and later, you know, whatever country's law, because I am appointed by God. And if you violate the will of the king, of the emperor, then you will be cast into a pit of eternal damnation. So it was very convenient to create this. And then, concepts like Loki, the Nordic god of the underworld, and fire, and other negative concepts got incorporated into the religion. And then, poof, you know, by the high Middle Ages, we had a guy with a pitchfork running around sticking people in the butt, making them do bad things, you know.
Yeah, for fear and also to control people, you know, people, it's a means of control, fear and control.
Yes, it is. Fear is a very good, and the Romans understood one thing. They understood fear and how to inflict it.
So, Romans, have you encountered any historical figures? Well,
I have, and it has just been amazing. I could go on for hours, but I was very honored when Shirley MacLaine asked me to be on her radio show, Independent Expressions, and so I'm talking to Shirley, and we somehow or other got on the topic of Marilyn Monroe. And I said, well, did you know Marilyn? You know, I thought, I'm going to ask Shirley MacLaine to go, hey, did you know Marilyn Monroe? She goes, yeah, I did. She said, you know, we kind of were like rivals because, you know, we were up for a lot of the same parts. And then Shirley, because, I mean, Marilyn got typecast as the blonde bombshell and, the stereotypical, quote-unquote, dumb blonde, although Marilyn was anything but dumb. I mean, she was, you know, that was the parts that she was given. But Shirley was being given really, really sophisticated parts, and her big breakthrough was in the movie The Apartment. And it was funny because Shirley said that she had visited Stephen Hawking, and she was in Stephen Hawking's office, and there were two pictures on the wall, one of Albert Einstein and one of Marilyn Monroe. And she goes, well, I get the Albert Einstein, Stephen, but why Marilyn? And then she imitates and goes, because her curves are more beautiful than a quantum singularity. And so she started laughing. And so Shirley said, well, then years ago I'm at the premiere of my movie The Apartment, and it was in Hollywood, and it was a very big deal. And Marilyn showed up wearing a full-length fur coat, and she walked out during the performance. And Shirley went out to the bar where Marilyn was and said, is there a problem? What's going on, Marilyn? And she said all Marilyn did was turn and open up her fur coat, and she was stark naked under the coat. And I go, oh, my gosh. And Shirley goes, well, looking back on things, I believe Stephen had a point. And I said, well, I wonder what Marilyn would think about that. And she says, I don't know, Mark. You're the medium. Why don't you tell me? And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then suddenly I feel a spirit come through, and I start describing her and what she said. And Shirley goes, well, that is something Marilyn would say. And then I said, there's another female, another woman, beautiful woman. God, these incredible eyes. They're almost like a violet color. She goes, Liz. Liz was so nice to me. She was one of my and it dawned on me, Rebecca, that I'm on the phone with Shirley MacLaine, and I'm communicating with Marilyn Monroe and Elizabeth Taylor. And I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know if I'm ever going to top this one, okay?
Wow.
So, I got other stories, but that one just floored me. I mean, and I'll say one thing. Shirley MacLaine is an icon and a legend for good reason. Not only is she an incredible talent and actress, this lady, and she's in her 80s now, is so incredibly intelligent, the term sharpest tack in the box doesn't even do her justice.
Mm. Yeah, I remember being younger and thinking that something was wrong with her, but that was only because of me and my growth. You know, I wasn't there yet. But I totally, I'm down with all of it. In fact, I'm going to throw this out. I talked to my father has been dead since 2008, but that's not it. Do you have anything from Prince? I'm a big
fan.
Well, you
know, I need somebody that has a direct connection to him, because it's like when Michael Jackson died, people were calling me up. What did he have to say? You know, it's like, I don't know. Get LaToya or, you know, Jermaine to give me a call.
Okay.
And I'm not being facetious, because it's a direct communication, because Prince really would have no particular interest in communicating with me. But he would if somebody that had a direct connect with him.
Yeah,
and
that
that's generally
sense.
How it works. Well, I was doing a reading for this and actually I wrote about this in Evidence of Eternity, so I'll give away just a snippet. And she was a radio host in Philadelphia. She was just amazing. And she wanted me to do a reading for her after the show. And she was an African-American woman, and this African-American gentleman came through, and I described him as an older guy and all this. And she goes, "That's my grandfather." She goes, "Yes, you're getting him. And I go, "No, this is really weird." She goes, "What?" I go, I don't even know how to say this. I go, "There's a guy that looks like Gandhi standing next to him." She goes, "Well, that isn't weird at all." I go, "Why?" She goes, "My grandfather lived in India in the 1930s, and he studied nonviolent resistance under Gandhi. He was a friend of Gandhi's. And then after that, he came to the U.S. and worked with Dr. Martin Luther King during the era of desegregation." I'm like, "I'm talking to Gandhi?"
And, wow.
But she had the direct connect because her grandfather was a dear friend of Gandhi's. And, I mean, connecting with Gandhi, I mean, that is, like, up there with, like, I mean, St. Francis. It was so humbling. It was so humbling. And the really tragic thing is about a month later, I got a call from the station, and the station, the program manager, was in tears, and she said that the host had dropped dead unexpectedly of a heart attack. She was only 54 years old. She got a cold, and apparently it triggered a heart attack. And I remember sitting there. I mean, I'd only met her once, but I'll admit this on air, I cried my eyes out, you know, because she was such an amazing person. And through her, I was able to connect with one of the greatest people that has graced this planet. But what I learned, Rebecca, is that everyone counts and everyone matters. You don't have to be a Gandhi or a Elizabeth Taylor or Marilyn Monroe to affect change. You can just be yourself, and you should be yourself, because you may be that sympathetic ear to some perfect stranger who just needed somebody to talk to them so that they didn't go home and put a bullet in their head. You know, everybody counts, everybody matters. The smallest act of kindness, everything is energetically interconnected. Everything we do, there's cause and effect. There's an equal and opposite reaction for it. And that's why it's so important for us to show love and kindness and compassion to each other. And that's easy to say and very hard to do.
Well, it's difficult to do, because it really comes from looking in the mirror first, and you can't give anything that you don't give to yourself. So it's being accepting of self. You said something about being yourself. I mean, that needs to be taught, and it's okay to be who you are, as opposed to, you know, following what everybody else, following, you know, the masses or the herd. So that it's just to be okay with being yourself is a really, really big challenge, and not easy, like you said.
Not at all. You know, and it's like, you know, it's easy to go around and say, "Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you." It's like, yeah, try it sometime. You're going to find, you know, it's like the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the Buddha, raise the bar for us. They're a challenge. you know, it's difficult to go around and turn the other cheek and treat people with compassion. You know, we live in a very difficult world, but the material world is, this is hell. See, there is no hell on the other side. Hell is here on earth, and for those who are coping with the loss of a loved one, my own father died almost 4 weeks ago. I can say for certainty right now, my family is in a state of hell. The depression, the grief, you know, the feelings of hopelessness, and that is hell. Parents who lost a child, people living under the tyranny of something like ISIS, you know, that is hell. This is here on earth, and when we leave this material world, we go to a different frequency. Now, in saying that, Rebecca, I have to preface this with, for anyone out there who's listening who feels very, very depressed, this does not justify you intentionally taking your own life, okay? We go through all of this, this funk, this gunk, the misery. There are highs, there are wonderful times, but there are many, many difficult times in life. We go through all of it because it serves a reason and a purpose which we may not always understand while we're living in the material world, because this physical plane is such a minute, it's a drop of water in the infinite ocean of our existence. So, yeah, sometimes life really, really is horrible, but we go through these experiences because we learn and we grow from them emotionally, in some cases physically, and definitely spiritually.
You know, so true, and you're bringing up something it's very difficult. What I do as a happiness specialist is teach people how to experience more happiness. And I'm not talking about, you know, just skipping through the tulips or the flowers, but seriously, whatever you're going through, when you trust and know that however it feels, that it is for your betterment, it is for your growth, just like you said. And it's also what I found is having a choice to choose my perspective. You know, you mentioned death and your father dying 4 weeks ago, and my father died almost, 10 years ago. But on that day, I'd have shared that was the day that I buried my father was one of the happiest days in my life. And I'm only saying this is because I have a child. I had a son, and I wanted to give him another example, another way, another perspective of looking at experiencing death. You don't have to do everybody's got their personal way of getting through anything, but I smiled. I remember being on the beach, you know, after we buried him. My son had to go back to New York, and he asked me, he says, "Mom, how do you feel now that Gramps is gone? How do you feel?" And on the same day I buried him, I was able to say, "Gramps is dead," you know, making a joke, meaning that it is our perspective, and practicing changing a perspective. I know it's difficult, but knowing that, like you said earlier, there is something, you know, silver lining, and focusing on the memories as opposed to looking at it as a loss. I know this is your interview. Let me get off my soapbox.
No, Rebecca, that's actually very, very poignant because we're coming up on the holidays now. And there's a lot of people listening that are not exactly ho 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 looking forward to it. And you know, being a person who helps people learn how to experience happiness in their life, you know, I mean, here I am a psychic medium, I'm a spiritual teacher, and I'm facing the holidays without my dad. I mean, Thanksgiving was not exactly a whole lot of fun. I mean, we stayed in and you know, we did the traditional dinner and watched Macy's parade, and you know, and as corny as this sounds, after it was over, I started watching those Hallmark movies because they're predictable, mindless, feel good, it was like eating gumdrops. You know what I mean? You know what to expect, but it tastes good, so you keep doing it anyway. Because I needed, I just needed a break from intensity. And people have to realize that, you know, when you're facing the holidays without a loved one, and if you think that putting up a tree or doing your typical holiday celebration is going to be too painful, then don't do it. Do something else. You know,
exactly.
Maybe that day, go for a walk in the woods, go for a picnic. And what I tell is people, one of the best ways to overcome feelings of negativity is to do something kind for someone else. Go volunteer at a soup kitchen on Christmas and you know, help people who don't have anything. You know, you really feel good when you help others. So if putting up a tree is going to be miserable this year, then don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do things just because, oh, well, that's what we do on Christmas, if it's going to make you unhappy.
Okay, so now you're hitting something else, because the only reason why people are unhappy, well, when I say happy, I'm really talking about an internal peace, an internal contentment. This is nothing about, oh, this happened to me and now I'm happy. It's about being at peace in the middle of the storm, in the middle of life's storm. And the programming, though, the programming is the reason why that I find the unhappiness. You know, the programming of, okay, it's this date, now we all have to have a Christmas tree, or it's this date and we all have to do this, you know, follow this preconceived, basically robotic celebration. And I love that you said you don't have to celebrate. Listen, I can celebrate Christmas in January. I can celebrate the 4th of July in the middle of December. So it's really getting away from that programming and then asking yourself, is this a program that I've learned, or is this universal? Is this spirit, love, and if it's a programming, which 99.9% is, then you know you can shift your perspective and do, well, it takes practice, but at least shift your focus. And focus on, you know, you can look at the Sistine Chapel and see, you look at the Sistine Chapel and then there's maybe one little crack in the glass, and that's what you're focusing on, as opposed to the beauty of the memory of your loved ones.
Beautiful. You know what, Rebecca, I could not have said that better myself. And that is true. We tend to do that, especially when a loved one dies. We start to focus on maybe something that we said that was unkind or something that was negative, but we have to look at the entire relationship with the person. And you know, we all too often get caught up in the death and dying. And, you know, just speaking from my own experience, my dad, you know, had cancer, and the last 3 weeks were just, well, the last 6 months were not pleasant, but the last 3 weeks were absolutely horrible. And I don't know if I'd wish that on anybody, but in time, that will be less of a focus of what my family and I are concentrating on. And instead, looking at Dad's life when, you know, the little kids called him Pop Pop, and you know, when he would take, you know, he taught us all how to swim, and then listen to his stories. He was a Navy SEAL, and that's where we have to get to. That's what will start to cultivate the return of those happy feelings, as opposed to, my God, the way he died was horrible. You know, well, it's when I communicate with spirits, because in the 15,000 plus readings that I've done, and a lot of people, that because I'm an attorney and because of my background in criminal law and personal injury, a lot of people come to me with murders. And of course, I mean, how can you not be focused and caught up on how your daughter or son was murdered? But spirits have such a different way of looking at their death. They don't get caught up in it. And to them, their death was merely a doorway they had to go through to get to this higher level of consciousness and this incredible frequency that they're on. And they tend not to be too preoccupied with, you know, you need to find my murderer, because in their reckoning, the murderer is going to be along any minute, and it's going to be a whole different, you know, dynamic there. So, but the death and dying process can really damage somebody's life. you know, and I feel myself like going through the stages of grief, and I start getting real angry, and I realize, okay, I know what's going on here. Take a deep breath. Do not let the anger consume me. Then I find myself falling into the pit of depression. It's like, okay, I know what's going on here, and it's okay to feel this, but I cannot let it become my life. It's kind of like the way I look at it is, let's say you're in a canoe and you're canoeing down a river and it's, oh, these are nice, pretty waters. Oh, look at the trees. Wait, we're getting some white water. Oh, my God, there's a waterfall. Okay, that's life. Life is a river.
That's
and sometimes
right.
There's waterfalls and there's rocks that you bang into. And, oh, my God, there's a bear. Start paddling faster, you know. And that's the way it is. And that's the way it is.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just loving this. Mark, would you mind taking a few calls? We have a few people that would like to speak with you.
Sure, and let me explain first before they come on to the people that I'll be doing these mini readings for. I try to get like one spirit per person. Please don't call in with career, love life, those type of. This is for spirit communication. If the spirit wants to bring up stuff about your career, love life, you know, that type of thing, that's fine. Also, a lot of things that come through will not immediately make sense. Because the questions I ask are, do you recognize this? Does that make sense? And people get into no. And then after the reading, there's a period that I call the unfolding. It can take hours, days, even weeks for the full impact to unfold. Avoid no, because all that does is create negative energy. If it doesn't make sense right away, write it down. Like I was doing a reading for this lady and her son came through and I kept seeing Napoleon. I'm thinking like Napoleon Bonaparte or I'm thinking the dessert, you know, Napoleon. No. Well, I get an email from her after the reading and it dawned on her afterwards that her son's favorite movie of all time that he'd seen about 50 times and had it on DVD was Napoleon Dynamite. And when she heard Napoleon, she wasn't gals. No. As opposed to, well, let me think about it, just write it down and move on. I could go on for quite some time about that. And it's with spirit communication, let it flow, and I'll pick up on how the person died. I'll feel different sensations. I'll see things, hear things, and feel things. So with that in mind, I'm ready.
Okay, and then what I'd like to say to the callers, too, I'm just going to announce your area code and say your name and be brief because we've got a lot of people. I'm going to try to get through as many as possible, and we're just going to zip through this. Let's see, the first caller, welcome to Reality Spirituality, area code 805. You're live with Mark Anthony. Welcome to the show. What's your first name?
Hi, thank you, Rebecca. Hi, Mark. This is Donna from California.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. My question is, I heard my mother a couple months ago. She's on the other side. And it came in very loud and clear, and she said I was going to be rewarded. Can you ask her? Her name is Anne, and she's on the other side.
Okay. And for the other callers, try to avoid giving me too much information about the person.
Okay.
Because, yeah, see, I may have gotten her name. And I'm sorry, I'm not faulting you because it was my bad for not explaining this. Well, let's see first if your mother's going to come through. Okay. Hold on. All right. Female energy coming in. Now, remember, this may not be your mom. Other people that you know may come through first. Okay. She keeps pointing to her head. Was she having like some type of problem or even hair loss prior to passing?
She did have hair loss, yeah.
Okay, because she's starting to give me physical characteristics. The other thing I'm getting is, oh, my gosh, real difficult time breathing. It's like I keep hearing like that. Was she on some type of breathing apparatus or having difficulty with her sinuses or her lungs?
She had cancer, so she had a lot of difficulties with talking. She couldn't talk.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go with that because I'm getting this, like, real difficult breathing, talking. Okay, hold on. Bear with me for a second. Now, I know, like, lots of people love dogs, but she keeps showing little dogs. Is there something with you or her that would make sense? Because a lot of times they'll bring up stuff about you. Show me little dogs.
No dog.
Does that make any sense?
No dogs. No.
I'm sorry?
My brother has little dogs, but I don't have dogs, and she didn't have dogs.
So it makes sense with your brother, okay? Because
yeah.
He's the one with the little dogs, okay?
Yeah.
Hold on. Is he and she's giving me the term like aerospace. Is somebody connected to you or her involved in aerospace?
No.
All right, how about not at this time instead of no? Write down aerospace. A-R-E-R-O and then space, okay? Wow, she keeps hitting me with aerospace. So let's see what else she would like you to know. Bear with me. She's giving me a time frame between the middle of June to the middle of July. So let's go. It could be a significant birth, death, anniversary, or event connected to you or her or someone close to you between June 15th and July 20th. Does that make sense to you in any way?
Yeah.
Yes, in what way?
Her birthday was June 26th.
Okay, super. All right, great. So now I've locked onto her. They start giving me stuff when we get the connections. Now, your big thing is you will be rewarded. How will you be rewarded? Okay. She said you're finally going to stop learning to beat up on yourself. That's your reward. She said that you hold the bar higher for yourself than anyone else possibly could. And she said you've now realized that it's not necessary, because it's the realization that you're fine just the way you are. She said, your standard is excellence. Even when you're having a bad day, she goes, you are excellent. You are always first rate. So now that you're beginning to realize that, it's going to take a tremendous amount of stress off of you. The other thing she's talking about is there's something going on. Do you have an appointment with an eye doctor or something going on with your eyes or eyesight? Don't freak out.
I do.
Doesn't mean you're going blind. You do?
Yes.
Okay. All right. When a spirit gives me a message of an explanatory advisory nature, and it's you're rewarded by a pressure release, the pressure that you put on yourself to always be excellent and first rate, okay, that's the advice and explanation. And when the spirit follows that up with an objectively verifiable fact, eye appointment, which you definitely need to do, that the verifiable fact is how the spirit is letting you and I know we have properly received and interpreted the message. So I'll leave that with you.
Thank you
so much for calling. I really appreciate it. You know, what's interesting, you said that you felt that she was beating up on herself and critical. And it's an epidemic of criticizing self, and that's a huge one. Again, the programming. I grew up in a house where everything was wrong. Nothing was right, including me. So it's really difficult, but what a great reward. I mean, that's the highest of rewards to get rid of that self-criticism.
It is. And we tend to want to hold ourselves to these standards that are sometimes impossible. Then, of course, there's people that their standard is so low, I mean, they're a little bit more motivated than a puddle of mud. So anyway, it's good to see that the caller's a good person, but not to beat herself up so much.
Mm-hmm. Okay, caller, area code 303. What's your first name? Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Your first name?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call, Mark. You're wonderful to listen to. I love your intelligence and articulateness. And my name is Allison.
Hi, Allison. Okay, let's see. First off, thank you. That was very kind of you to say. All right, I got a male energy coming through. No, whoo, wow, a lot of pain I'm feeling in the area of my pancreas. So what this could indicate with this gentleman is he may have had either pancreatic cancer or pancreatitis, but it could also be a diabetes indicator, because diabetes is caused by the pancreas not functioning properly, okay? And I'm going further now, because now I feel nauseated and sick. Nausea can indicate that prior to his passing, he was having difficulty eating and or holding down food prior to his death, but this could also be a cancer indicator. Like burning sensations and nausea are cancer indicators for me. Does any of this make sense?
It very likely could, yes.
Okay. Interesting. He keeps giving me the word captain.
Yes.
Okay. How does captain make sense?
He was not a captain, but he acted like he was.
Okay, so your interpretation of something overrules mine. If something comes through and it's resonating with you, that's great, okay? Mm-hmm. Interesting, all these stringed instruments. I'm seeing lutes, harps, guitars. Are you, like, really involved with music, or was he involved with music? But I get all this stringed instruments.
If it's the person I think it is, and it, because if it's not my father, it could be his grandfather, my grandfather, and I don't know anything about him, so I can't rule him out as the one coming through. But in response to this, both my father and I, we love music, shared a love of music, but we did not play it.
That's okay. That's okay, a love of music. Did you guys specifically like, I'm getting two types of music, like chamber music, you know, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
the classical, and I'm also getting
mm-hmm.
like rhythm and blues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different kinds, but that would be
okay.
Among them, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hold on. Bear with me. He keeps talking about a car accident, and I don't believe that was related to his death. But he keeps talking about a car accident. Were you in a car accident of significance? Because he keeps hitting me over the head with car accident. Or is there something about the way that you drive that could possibly be putting you at risk?
No, definitely not that.
Why do you say that?
Oh, because I'm a very, very responsible, mindful driver. I love to drive, in fact.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Hold on.
Yeah.
This could be you're a good driver. That's excellent. This could be on the lookout because you're not the problem. It's somebody else out there. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't, like, panic and freak out, but he's telling you, watch out. Okay? Now, he's holding up a piece of, this is funny, I'm laughing. It's one of those pieces of American cheese, you know, like in the cellophane, which I can't stand that stuff. So that could indicate love American cheese, hate American cheese, or a lactose issue. Okay, you're laughing. In what way?
I have no idea what that means. I didn't laugh because it's so odd.
I'm sorry, what?
I think it's so odd and specific, and I can't believe that. Are you talking about he had that or I have that?
It could apply to you or to him. Normally, before I do readings, I spend about 15 minutes explaining things, and they can bring up stuff that relates directly to you or to someone close to you. So does that type of American cheese make sense to you or someone close to you or to him?
Not that I can place. Not at this time, no.
Okay, that's fine. Make a circle around that one. Oh, he's throwing it at me. He keeps throwing cheese at me. What's going on with cheese? All right, do you love cheese?
It's okay. Yeah, from time to time.
No, that's not it then. Okay, just put a circle around that one. Okay. All right, hold on. Right, now I get that we're in December and everybody likes Christmas, ho, 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 because I'm tasting peppermint. And peppermint is an indicator of a significant birth, death, anniversary, or event in the month of December, other than just ho, 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 we like Christmas, unless there's a particular Christmas. But is there some December event or something about peppermint that makes sense to you?
I generally like the taste of peppermint and the smell of peppermint.
That's a yes. Okay,
as
so he's
a
bringing
general,
up,
yeah.
Yeah, so he's bringing up stuff about you. Okay, now. Hold on. This is so interesting. He says he always tried to grant your wish. I know that sounds weird, but I keep getting grant your wish. Grant your wish. Does that make any sense to you?
I wish I could say yes, but it does not. Quite
okay,
positive.
I'm going to go ahead and take a pass on this one. Let's go to another caller because there's stuff coming.
Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, so did he? Hello,
Mark.
He
go ahead.
Out?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, hold on a second. Let me hold on that caller. We're actually coming up to the top of the hour, the end of the show. I mean, it just went by like 5 minutes. And I want you to, you know, have enough time to let the audience know, you know, about your services, where they can find you, you know, your website, Evidence of Eternity. Wish I had another hour with you, but it's just been fascinating. And I love connecting with someone that is really, you know, a bright light in this world, a bright light, and you know, when you go in a dark room and you turn on the light, the darkness is gone. So there is, like you said earlier, there is no darkness. There is no devil. It is just light. And we all are that light. It's just recognizing and accepting it and living it.
Exactly. It is. If people want to find out about a session with me and my tour schedule, please go to evidenceofeternity.com. Please sign up for my newsletter, and you can also follow me on Twitter, Facebook, subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's all right there on my website, evidenceofeternity.com.
I have a couple of really quick questions for you, if you don't mind. Just if,
sure.
If we can go behind the curtain for a second, we have about 4 minutes left. Would you like to do a reading, or would you like to
The only thing is, it's like now I'm pressured to do a reading in 4 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah,
because
yeah.
It takes time it takes time to build a rapport with the spirit.
Okay, so. How does being a medium in your daily life, how do you find that it's just a part of you? I mean, how does it affect or challenge you in your daily, everyday life?
It's such an integral part of who and what I am that I don't really think about it. It's like, you know, saying if you're left-handed, how does that affect your life? It may make things a little awkward at times, but... it's part of, you know, it's part of my being. I'd say the most difficult part is having to put up with people's reaction to it. I mean, I got two professions, an attorney and a medium, that people definitely have strong feelings about. And I realize that it's their problem, not mine. And I just try to focus and be the best person that I can be and be the best medium that I can be. And ask God for guidance. That's how I handle it.
Do you have any medium friends?
Oh yeah, a lot of them. It's so funny, especially if we like go out to lunch or something. We'll be sitting there talking shop, you know, and we realize all the tables around us are like really tuned in, and some people are like really into it, and others are horrified. it's funny. It's funny, especially when you get the people that I have. Utmost respect for people of faith, but I don't care much for religious fanatics. And there's a big difference between a person of faith and a religious fanatic. A religious fanatic goes around saying, my way is the only way, and you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong, because I, you know. And all that is an extension of ego, whereas a person of faith realizes that the love of God flows through all of us. We're all the children of God, and you should never criticize or raise your hand against your brothers and sisters simply because they look different, act different, or call God by a different name.
Mm-hmm. If you could snap your fingers, what would you change in this world?
I'd get rid of cancer. Cancer's taken so many people from me. I mean, you know, I could go down the list and I want to change this and I want to change that. But I remember hearing a story about a man that was asked if he could have three wishes. He goes, I'd like to stop a war. And the genie said, and perhaps that would start 10 others. So, you know, we got to be careful sometimes about what we think would be good may not, because there's that old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Mm. Well, that's the end of the show, Mark. I really appreciate you being on Reality Spirituality Day. Again, his website is evidenceofeternity.com, Evidence of Eternity. You can find out more about Mark Anthony. He's scheduled him for speaking events, personal readings. I really thank you so much for being on the show, Mark. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. God bless you, Rebecca, and to everyone out there, have a blessed and peaceful holiday season.
Thank you. Everyone, you've been listening to Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, and on Sunday, I'm going to be live with you answering your questions. On Sunday, same channel, Blog Talk Radio, 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And until next time, my audience, I just want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patience, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Remember, as Abraham says, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. Thanks for the reality, spirituality.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one,
man. Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality. Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good now.
Get real good.
Now, what I'm about to say.
Time to get real.